Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have I spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Amen. May the Lord bless this chapter to your heart.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope that you are blessed and helped each day during these very difficult times with this terrible pandemic. I don't think any of us have lived through a year of such terrible uncertainty. And now with the present rage of COVID cases in so many parts of the world, there is great concern again. What if we lose our job? What if we are unable to pay our bills? It is a time to trust the Lord, and this passage, Malachi chapter 3, is a tremendous challenge to us, but it also gives us great hope that the Lord who is able to provide certainly will. So I hope that you will listen in very carefully to the message today, and then at the close we will look to the Lord in prayer to guide and provide.
You're of God's people. And we have to come to God's word and answer the question. Now I move on to verse 10, and you'll see that tithing was Israel's call to faith. Prove me now. Do you notice that word prove right there in verse 10? Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me, test me. Here is a call to faith. And we are to test God, and God promises that he will pour out a blessing that we will not have room enough to receive it. You can't outgive God. Now we have learned that tithing is division, but the blessing is multiplied. The blessing is so great we may not even receive it. God is a great giver, and he giveth and giveth and giveth again. The problem is, can we receive it? Are we ready to receive? And so faith is God's promise of abundance. That's what our faith is in. He will open the windows of heaven. Now, that's a very significant little statement. I will open the windows. Because way back in Deuteronomy, when the people of Israel had not yet crossed over into the promised land, God said that if you do not obey me, I will shut up the heavens. And likewise, when the dedication of the temple in Solomon's time, the same was said, that if this people do not worship me in truth, I will shut up the heavens. There will be no rain. There will be droughts. And so this is a mark of God's favor when he opens the heaven and he pours out a blessing. Now, don't think that it's just like a one big dump of blessing and then it's all over. That's not how God works. This is the idiom that was used to say, I will favor your life and ministry and work. If you notice, the promise goes on down in verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit. So here's how God blesses. He gives the harvest. He gives the fruit in the field. And God gives again and again. So this is not like winning the lottery, that if you tithe to God that you'll suddenly become a millionaire. We have a few prosperity preachers who like to fly around the world in jets and such things. And that's the kind of message they project when it comes to money, when it comes to giving and tithing. And of course, they want all that money directed to their ministries. Here, we see that God says, I will bless your labor. And it's like God opening up that job opportunity. It's like God opening up a door, a way that you thought might have never been. Or when there are bills to pay, that extra few hours of work, which covers the need. God can do that, and he can work in so many ways. Rain, sunshine, pest control, thieves, invaders, war, health, all of these things, God can protect us. God can use to work for our good in so many ways. He can make things go well. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're a farmer and you are depending upon your crop each year for a living, that there will never be a bad harvest. Canadian farmers know that. There are times when the locust eats. There are times when there is insufficient moisture to give a decent crop, when the bills to plant and tend to the harvest, and yet there's no crop, that there's bills to pay and no money coming in. There are years like that. But then that only casts us more to prove the Lord for the next year. Now in Habakkuk chapter 3, that little book that's tucked away in here, Habakkuk, as it's called, one of the 12 minor prophets, and it's a way back after Jonah, Micah, Nahum, then Habakkuk, the last few verses. And here is a godly man. Here is a man of faith, a man who loves God, and he knows the promises that God will open the windows of heaven. And here is what he says: although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And so a Christian doesn't rise up and get angry with God because of crop failure. But over a lifetime, over the years, while there will be years that are tough, times that are difficult, but yet there are many years of provision. And I'm sure there are Christians here tonight, and you can look back over the years and say, oh, there were tough times. There were times I didn't know where to pay the bill. We were in tears. We were reduced to dire straits, didn't know what to do. But God intervened. And he says, prove me now, saith the Lord. And as I say, he can work in so many ways. A job opportunity that just opens up to provide the need. A promotion that you never thought would come your way. And again, it meets the need. And sometimes we need reminders that we're not in control. You could lose the job for a time. And that drives us to our knees to prove God. And again, to learn to trust him. Now, also in these promises that are given here in Malachi 3, you'll notice that there's the promise, first of all, of provision, then of protection. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And I love those last three words, for your sakes. He's not going to do this for everybody in the world, but God gives a special protection to the child of God, to the Christian who is proving him. And no doubt the devil could strip us of everything overnight. He did it to Job. Job, the richest man in Uz, yet stripped, reduced to nothing. But God puts a hedge about his people. And of course, we know the story, the parable of the wheat and the tares. The enemy comes and sows the tares in the field. God can keep the tares out of our lives, the troubles, the problems that can arise. God can deliver us from so many of those things. Spiritual protection upon our lives as well as our hearts. The devil could steal the desires of our hearts. He could reduce us to, I don't care less. And here tonight, we do care. We care about the Lord. And so how much is this spiritual protection worth? There are some companies in this world, they spend a lot of money on security. Physical security, cyber security, all kinds of protection. Sometimes there's fraudsters, and they pay them off with big money. They just pay them off. It's easier to do that than to risk what they might do to you. And so to be under God's protection, that's worth a lot. That's worth a lot. Then in verse 12, you'll notice that there's a promise that God will build up your testimony. And all nations shall call you blessed. What are people thinking and saying? Now, is this real? Are we talking theory here? Are we talking about practicalities? Well, it certainly was real for Israel what benefits and privileges they had as a nation. There was no nation blessed like them. The other nations were really the pawns on the board. Israel were the king and the queen, that God was moving into the center of his will in the whole messianic program to bring the Savior of the world. It was real for Israel. And it's real for New Testament Christians, the promises of God, to be under the blood of Jesus. We're taught to pray, to plead the protection of the blood of Christ. Lord, put the blood upon us, that the devil may not have any entrance. That's real. And we can be set free from all the snares and the cares of sin. You think of the money that drug addicts pour out. They end up usually losing everything. You think of the money that is spent in the pubs on alcohol. Hard-working men who sweat and labor all week, and on Friday evening they get their pay package and they're in that drinking den and they spend it all. And it's happening every week. And by the time they get home and meet their poor wife and family, that hard-earned money is just about gone. Is it real? Did you ever thank God that you're not a gambler? You think of the fortunes that are gambled away in this get-rich-quick desire, that it's a craze, it's an addiction. There's even now psychologists trained to deliver people from this gambling addiction. And it's so prevalent, the internet age, it's right in the home. You can log into any website and gamble away your life. And it's real. But we as God's people, praise God, are delivered. I'm not a smoker. My lungs are a whole lot better for that. And so is my bank book. The money that's smoked away, your business is better for a steady, healthy, wise, honest reputation. Your wife is better too. You pity the poor wife whose husband spends and spends and spends, and she struggles to keep that home and those children provided for. To live a prodigal life. Is it real? This is real. And God delivers his people from the crazes, the addictions, the sin pools of this world. And there's many that end up just losing their job, and because of their reputation, they can't even find another job. They don't qualify anymore. You just count that all up in your life. Is it real that God says, prove me now, and I will, what does it say in verse 12? And all nations shall call you blessed. There's people on your street that would say, I wish I was that man. I wish I was free from all the things that I live with. That's the reputation of the Christian, the child of God. Another question, could you preach this in the third world? Could you go to parts of Africa or India and preach this to the poorest of the poor? Malachi 3:10, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Bring your tithes into mine house. Can you preach this to the poorest man or woman? Missionaries do. And where there are communities that accept Christ and follow the Word of God, they're delivered from terrible, terrible drains upon their life. Witchcraft, idolatry, paganism, laziness. The Christian work ethic is probably the very principle that has lifted nations and communities out of poverty above all else. Man will not work, neither shall he eat. There's parts of the world men won't work. I don't think you need to go too far for that either. The Christian is greatly blessed. And so I'm causing you to think of all the blessings that God gives because we are called to prove Him. I move on to the last part now, and that is verse 7. Tithing was Israel's call to fellowship. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Wherein shall we return? How do we get back? And this was the first thing God said. You've robbed me. Here's the way back. Bring the tithes into the storehouses. And so he calls them emphatically to return. Return, and I will return unto you. And these sin-sodden people, they were so deep and scarlet in their sins, they said, wherein shall we return? How do we do it? And that led to the whole issue, the promise, prove me now. And if they would begin to honor God, he would honor them. So this is the way to return. It's the way to serve the Lord. If you look at verse 14, and ye said, it is vain to serve God. It is vain to serve God. Now, if you buy that doctrine, if you buy that notion, it's vain to serve God, that God doesn't do anything for our sacrifices and our labors and our giving. If you buy into that thinking, why would you give a penny to God's work? Why would you give even $1 to God's work? You'll never see it again. There'll be no benefit, no blessing. It's vain to serve God. But when you do practice tithing, what are you saying? I believe God. I know God will bless. I'm going to prove Him. Prove me now, saith the Lord. He makes it an urgent matter. And there will be the help and the blessing of God. Well, it will certainly make a great difference in our fellowship with God. Can we really take our hymn book and sing and dig into God's Word and study it and pray over it and seek to be a blessing in the communion of the saints? And we keep our wallet in our pockets every time the basket is passed, not giving a thing to God or giving the very last and the least? No, this is a way to have God's blessing. Now, this is really a matter of the heart. We know that these Israelites that had failed in their tithing had departed from God. They had failed in so many ways. But let me show you that this is a matter of the heart and a matter of faith. I'm going to take you to Proverbs 3, a very well-known part of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're just going to read a few verses into this. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Here's the heart is mentioned. Verse 1. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now we know that verse, don't we? We know that promise. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and it comes out of the heart. It's a part of our worship. It is the way that we express our faith and our confidence in the promises of God. The Apostle Paul said that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, and the Greek word is hilarity. We are to be a hilarious giver. And that reminded me of the saying of laughing all the way to the bank. You know, when you get a real good deal and everybody said, don't do it, and you win. And you laugh all the way to the bank. That's what tithing is like. The world says, well, you're wasting your, you give all that money to God? And yet when God blesses us, we are the ones that are laughing all the way to the bank. And of course, this is God's antidote to being a miser. It will check what really you care about. Put your money to work. Lay up treasure in heaven. It keeps us from worshiping money and enables us to worship the God that enables us to get money. It enables us to live by faith. Do the right, trust in God, and He will provide. And of course, we can never outgive God. These are the things that we see here in Malachi 3. These are great promises. And so when we fall into difficult times and when we're honoring the Lord along the way, then the Christian can get on his knees and cry to God, Lord, remember your promise. Remember that you would open the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing that would have not have room to receive. Now, Lord, it's time. Now, Lord, it's time. I need your help. Then God will undoubtedly honor his people.
Father in heaven, we ask in Jesus' name to remember your people in any time of need. We pray that you will grant to them strong faith to cry to thee in prayer, and that you will, in love and grace, provide every need. We thank thee that thou art our heavenly Father, who cares for us and who promises to lift the burden. And so draw near and bless your own children today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.